Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shor, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Yes, I had to wear glasses in order to read that list because I had cataract surgery. And I had cataract surgery on my right eye, and I can't see without reading glasses. Now, my distance vision is 20/20. I can see 20/20 far distance. But my close reading vision now is such after the cataract surgery that I need reading glasses in order to be able to read in most cases, unless it's large print. In most cases, I need glasses to read. Our subject on the program this week is going to be why Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Britain, are doomed to fail in their attempt to save America and Britain through secular nationalism. Why secular nationalism cannot possibly save the United States, Britain, or any other country. We're going to explain that. And that's the reason why we said the only hope for America was electing someone like Ted Cruz, who would have been giving us conservative, truly conservative principle government with a biblically based viewpoint. But we're going to explain to you why it can't work. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we don't support Donald Trump for re-election. We do support him for re-election. Even though we don't like him, we're supporting him for re-election because the Democrats are much worse. And so we're supporting him as a lesser of the evils. But make no mistake about it. America's decline will continue under Donald Trump. And Donald Trump will not stop the downfall of America, just as Boris Johnson will not stop the downfall of Britain. Those things cannot be stopped by their secular nationalist policies. We're going to go into detail as to why that is so. First of all, let's understand something. God will not allow secular nationalism to succeed in the long run. That's just not possible. Without God, you cannot succeed in anything you do in this world or in life in general, except in the short term. You can get short-term benefits, but in the long term, if you ignore God, and if you have a policy that ignores what God commands and what the Bible commands, you're going to fail. That's going to happen. God will see to it that you fail. And there's a practical reason why you can't succeed. When you don't have a biblically based idealism, people's selfish, narrow interests will take over. And so even Republicans will say, I want my Social Security and my Medicare and my benefits and this program from the government and that program from the government. They're going to demand that. Even Republicans and conservatives and evangelical Christians who follow secular nationalist leaders, they will all make those demands. And that will bring the downfall of the United States or of any other government. Because even people on the right who claim to be patriotic and nationalistic and they're Trumpsters and they wear their MAGA hats and everything else, if they know that hiring in their businesses, hiring illegal aliens or hiring foreigners from third world countries is cheaper and will enable them to make more money, in most cases, they're going to continue to hire third world people. That's going to happen. If you don't have a biblically based idealism, that will inevitably happen. And not only that, the birth rate among the productive people in the United States and Britain will continue to decline. You'll continue to see low birth rates, while the birth rate among third world people that come into the country will remain very high, and so the third world people inevitably become the majority. That's just something that in practical terms will automatically occur when you don't have a biblical reason to build a family, when you don't have family values and you're basing what you're doing on secular nationalism. Now, let me just give you an illustration of why Donald Trump, for instance, the United States, because so many of you love Donald Trump, you adore Donald Trump, so many people adore him, including evangelical Christians. Let me give you an illustration of why Donald Trump's leadership cannot succeed. Now, I do again want to clarify that if the Democrats win next year, the United States will face a more rapid downfall. Donald Trump represents a slower downfall than the Democrats. There's no question he would delay the downfall to a certain degree. The Democrats, on the other hand, will accelerate that downfall. So Trump is preferable to the Democrats. But that doesn't mean the downfall won't come and the decline won't continue. It will. Donald Trump is not reversing the downfall. He just slows it down, as opposed to the Democrats who accelerate it. Here's an example. Donald Trump was asked about the gay marriage of Mayor Pete Buttigieg. That's his name, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who was married to another man, and I put married in quotes. And Donald Trump was asked about it, and he said that it's great. That's a quote. He said he thinks it's great, and he said he has no problem whatsoever with it. He thinks it's great, and he has no problem whatsoever with it. Here's the interview that he did on Fox News.
Got the town hall with Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
There you go. this weekend. Just one thing on him. Putting aside policy disagreements, don't you think it's just great to see the fact that you've got a guy there on the stage with his husband, and it's normal. It's not even.
I think it's absolutely fine. I do.
Isn't it a sign of great progress in the country that that's just?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that's. Something that perhaps some people will have a problem with. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think it's good.
It's amazing that evangelical Christians, Orthodox Jews, and others who claim to believe in the Bible and biblical values and biblical moral values and family values have no problem, never criticized Donald Trump for saying what he said in this interview and for the position that he has consistently taken on this. You remember at the Republican convention, he told the Republicans when they cheered his call for gay rights and gay and the gay agenda, he said that in his acceptance speech. And then they cheered him and he said he was proud of them for cheering him, for supporting the gay agenda and gay rights. Anyone who knows the Bible and who knows history knows what happens in the end to countries and empires that support this type of agenda. And it's not just this issue, it's many other issues as well. Now, you may say, yeah, but okay, maybe we don't agree with him on that issue, and I hope that there are people who, in our audience at least, who don't agree with him on that. Maybe we disagree with him on that, and he says other things, and I even have heard people say, he has to say that. He does not have to say that. Even George W. Bush never said that. He does not have to say that. Other Republicans running for president did not say that. You do not have to say that. And if it's true that we've come to a point in America where the American people demand that their president say that, and there's no way that a president can't say it, if that's true, then America is completely doomed. Because if that's true, there is no chance for America to survive. If he really has to say that, then America is completely doomed. Because we see in the Bible that God does not tolerate certain things. There's certain red lines you can't cross. And Donald Trump has crossed them. And the Republican Party has crossed them together with the Democrat Party. Now, you may say, okay, that's true, but look how he's patriotic and nationalistic and he's saying make America great again. Even if he stirs up patriotism and nationalism and feelings of strength, which is what he does stir in tens of millions of people. They watch him and they feel nationalistic and he stirs those feelings, those emotions up in them. Let's say that he does that. And then let's say you can ignore his multiple acts of adultery, the fact that he cheated on all of his wives, The fact that he dumps one wife for another because, you know, when he gets tired of one, he dumps the wife for a younger one. The fact that he bragged about his adultery in the old days on the Howard Stern show. The fact that he committed adultery even when his latest wife was pregnant, was pregnant and about to give birth to their son, Baron, and he was committing adultery with prostitutes in Moscow. All of these things, let's say, you know, you don't think that any of this matters. You don't think that the complete immorality of this individual has any effect on anything. It doesn't matter. You don't realize that an immoral nation cannot survive. A nation without moral rectitude and righteousness cannot survive. You think immoral, evil leaders, if they're strong, can bring success to a nation. In the short term, sometimes some do. But in the long term, it leads to the moral rot and decay that automatically brings the downfall of empires. You don't think ancient Rome, ancient Greece, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Persia, Babylon, you don't think these ancient empires, some of whom ruled over the whole known world at the time, ruled over dozens and dozens of other countries, whose empire spanned over several continents, you don't think these nations had very patriotic and motivated and nationalistic people that said, make Rome great again, make Greece great again, make Persia great again? You don't think they had very, very highly motivated, patriotic, strong armies and strong, they had very strong economies and very prosperous nations for those days. They were prosperous and wealthy and strong and well-educated, and their armies seemed invincible and powerful. You don't think they had everything that you see in America or in other Western countries today? They had all of these nationalistic characteristics, but because of moral decay and moral rot from within, they collapsed. Their nations collapsed. And today, there's nothing. The ancient Rome, there is no trace of ancient Rome except in the ancient runes. Italy today has nothing to do with ancient Rome. The religion, this language, the culture, completely different. There's no trace of ancient Rome today. It doesn't exist anymore. It's been wiped off the face of the earth except for the ancient runes. And the same thing with Greece, and the same thing with ancient Persia, and the same thing with ancient Babylon. They no longer exist. And ancient Egypt, they no longer exist. They're just runes. They're just tourist sites to see the runes from that existed thousands of years ago. And yet they had such powerful armies, and such invincible economies, and such powerful, strong leaders who were immoral, but they said, okay, the leaders are immoral, okay, so what? But they're strong, and they're... The same logic that you give when you put forward when you're defending Trump or defending someone like Boris Johnson in Great Britain. The fact that they are adulterers, and the fact that there's adultery, and the fact that there's immorality, and the fact that they support immoral things, and the fact that Donald Trump in his own personal life and his businesses did anything to make profit and deals with the most unsavory, vicious, evil dictators and bloodthirsty monsters on the face of the earth and has no moral convictions whatsoever. You feel none of that makes any difference because he's going to make America great again. You don't care about any of that. You push all of that aside. You don't even want to know about that. But in the end, that leads to moral rot. You can't have a moral America when even the people that are supposed to be the torchbearers of morality, even the religious people, the Bible-believing people, are supporting leaders that are serial adulterers, that say it's great when a man is married to another man, that support all of the decadent things that are happening in society, think there's nothing wrong with it. Donald Trump was the first casino owner to introduce pornography into the casino world. There was never porn in casinos before. They didn't have sections where you can go and have porn and have peep shows and have gay porn and porn stars coming into the shows to perform. They didn't have this in casinos. You never had this in the casino world before. Donald Trump was the first one to introduce that into his casino. He introduced that into the casino world. And you feel that doesn't mean anything, that's not important. Donald Trump ripped people off over and over again in his businesses. And Trump University, the most notorious example. Now, he can't succeed. And you can't have a moral country when everybody is supporting a leader like this who has no morals. You can't have a moral country like that, and the country cannot succeed. It just won't work. And with Boris Johnson in the United Kingdom, he's doing the same thing. He's trying to take on, with secular nationalism, he's trying to take on the fact that Britain is part of the European Union, and he's trying to make Brexit succeed. Brexit is the attempt by the British to get out of the European Union. And he's fighting against, and by the way, it is in Britain's interest to get out of the European Union. There's no question about that. Boris Johnson is right that Britain should get out of the European Union. But his secular nationalism in Britain and his support for all the same immoral things that Trump supports in America, he has the same, it's parallel situation, makes it impossible for Britain to prevail in the end. Britain cannot prevail in the end because of that. If you're going to create a society where people are selfish and only think about themselves, which is what Trump represents, Trump is pure selfishness and ego. If you're going to have a society of selfish, egotistical people who have businesses and who will do anything to make money and make a profit and have no concern about others, trample on other people and do anything to make money, again, they're going to hire illegals, they're going to hire third world people, they're going to do what Trump said that he supports affirmative action. And he was always an enthusiastic supporter of affirmative action, which is one of the things that has destroyed America. And I mean, all of the really bad trends that have existed, Trump was behind all of those trends. And the thing that governed his decision-making process, that governed it in the past and that governs it now, has always been what is good for Donald Trump. You can't succeed when you're doing that. It won't work. There's only one nation in the whole Western world, among all the Western so-called democracies, there's only one nation among those Western countries that has bucked the trends, that is going against those trends, that has an increase in the birth rate. The Jewish birth rate is going up in Israel. That's the only country in the world where they have a birth rate that's going up. In fact, the Jewish birth rate in Israel is now higher than the Arab Muslim birth rate. And this is the only country in the world where you have that. Even secular Jews have a birth rate that more than replaces their families and that leads to population growth. Even secular Jews, and the religious Jews, have very large families in Israel. And the religious Jews are becoming a growing force, and they're about 30% of Israeli Jews now are religious. The majority of Israeli children, or Israeli Jewish children, are religious because they have so many kids. And so the future of Israel is a religious future, but even the secular Israeli Jews have a lot of kids compared to other Western countries. I mean, they are the only nation bucking the trends. Because Judaism, even when it's watered down and diluted and distorted as it has been in this evil generation, Judaism is right, and what God promises for the Jewish people will come true. It is the biblical promise and the biblical destiny that will come true. That's what will secure a future for the world. Not talking about nationalism and patriotism and just waving flags, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with waving flags and nothing wrong with being nationalistic or patriotic. Patriotism and nationalism and waving flags are good things for a country. They are good things for a country. But if they are not based upon an idealistic spiritual foundation, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's not going to buck all the trends of modern society and enable a country to survive in this modern world. Because your country, if you have a strong economy, will suck in automatically all the people from the poorer countries of the world, and they will come in and they will continue to come in and they will become a majority. And Trump the last few months, he slowed that process down at the border, but he hasn't stopped it. He hasn't stopped that process. Every day that he has been president, every day Donald Trump has been president, the country has moved further and further toward a third world majority. It was actually moving there even faster in the first year and a half of his presidency than it was under Obama even. Now he has started to reverse that to a certain degree and slow it down to a certain degree, but still it's moving in that direction. And so he has not stopped any of the bad trends. None of that has stopped. There's only one country where the trend has been reversed, and that's in Israel, in little Israel. Because God promised the Jewish people that little Israel would survive, and little Israel will survive. There could be terrible tragedies there, and we're doing everything we can to save Israel from those tragedies, but little Israel will survive, and this Israel will live forever. This Israel will exist forever. The Jews have returned to Israel never to be exiled again. But there is no promise that America or Britain or any other country will live forever. Look at the mighty Soviet Union, how quickly that fell. And that was a country, again, based on tremendous idealism and nationalism and propaganda, and people were brainwashed, and like robots, they were fighting for the Soviet Republic and workers of the world and the proletariat and workers of the world unite. And many, many tens of millions were hypnotized and brainwashed by this and believed in it. But in 70 years, that country completely collapsed, just completely collapsed from within. That empire collapsed from within. Because secular nationalism cannot succeed, and secular idealism does not succeed. It doesn't succeed. In the end, people's desire to get ahead on a personal level will always overtake any other nationalist principles or ideals. In the vast majority of cases, there'll be exceptions here and there, but on a broad national scale, you cannot have a society built upon or premised upon secular nationalism succeeding in the long term. It doesn't work. It cannot work. It cannot. And of course, there's another factor at play. And that's the relationship of a nation to Israel. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, God says in the Sefer Bereshit, in the book of Genesis. God promises that if you bless the Jews, you'll be blessed, and if you curse the Jews, you'll be cursed. And it's a consistent theme that runs not only throughout the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. It runs also throughout the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the whole Jewish Bible. Over and over again, the prophets warn about how you have to support Israel and defend Israel and support the Jews. A nation that does that will be blessed. A nation that does not do that will be cursed. Now, someone could be under the curse and temporarily succeed. God has his reasons sometimes for doing that. Temporarily, in the short term, can succeed, but still be under the curse, and the long term will fall. And by the way, if someone rises quickly and is evil, that means their fall will be even sharper and more painful. But that happens in history. But the long-term end result is, if you do not support Israel and the Jews, and you go against Israel and the Jews, you are doomed. Everything you wanted to happen to the Jews, all the bad things you wanted to happen to the Jews, will happen to you and your people. That is the inevitable result of those who go against the Jews. Now, if Israel, having evil leaders, Israel again also has evil leaders, and was also basing its Zionist enterprise on secular nationalism, and all of Israel's leaders are evil, then why is it that Israel will survive and Israel's bucking these trends? Only because of God. because of God's promise to the Jewish people. But that will not happen for other nations. Other nations cannot rely on that. That won't happen for them. It will happen for Israel and the Jews, because this is Israel's destiny. Why? Because, not because of this generation. This generation doesn't deserve it. This generation is getting the benefits of prior generations that were very righteous. This generation is getting the benefits of Jews who were burned at the stake by the Catholic Church because they refused to convert. Burned alive. And the church at the time said, well, we're not shedding their blood, we're just burning them. Tortured in the Inquisition. In the Crusades, again ordered by the church. Huge numbers of Jews were murdered. Jewish women, pregnant Jewish women, had their babies cut out of their pregnant stomachs. The worst type of barbarism imaginable. In ancient times, you had generations of Jews who resisted, for instance, the Romans. And the Romans crucified huge numbers of Jews. Huge numbers of Jews were crucified. And I know that there's one crucifixion that the Christian world dwells upon. That's part of their belief system. But in the Jewish world, this was something that happened on a massive scale to huge, this type of barbarism from the Roman Empire happened on a massive scale to huge numbers of Jews. And the Jews who were faithful and who made those sacrifices and who gave their lives and who suffered such terrible torture. No people has suffered so much torture for so long under so many different regimes, so many times throughout the world. And so because of this unbelievable suffering and agony the Jewish people suffered, the reward will be so great. And it'll be for all generations. It'll be an eternal reward. That will happen. And God will protect Israel from total destruction. God will always protect Israel. Even if Israel violates the covenant between God and the Jewish people, God will never break that covenant. God will protect the Jews and protect Israel from destruction. And again, that doesn't mean that we have over 6 million Jews in Israel, that some of them may face terrible, tragic consequences and catastrophes, God forbid, because of the evil things that they're doing now. And there could be terrible tragedies, but just think of it this way. If this is what's happening, if we see all these miracles and this is what's happening when the Jews are bad and are evil and are immoral as they are in this generation, imagine what would happen if the Jews were righteous. Imagine what the reward would be if the Jews were righteous. As our great beloved Rabbi, Harab Mir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, may the memory of this saint be immortalized, may God avenge his blood. Our beloved great Rabbi Kahana, as he often told us about the Jewish destiny and Jewish history, and how the Jewish return was something that was inevitable. And one of the things he said was, when we see these miracles of biblical proportions, like the 1948 Israel War of Independence, where tiny little Israel, outnumbered 100-1, had 7 Arab armies from 7 Arab countries. 6 out of the 7 were much bigger than Israel, much larger than Israel. 7 Arab countries that surrounded Israel all attacked the tiny Jewish state. And outnumbered 100-1, the Jews win and create a Jewish state. When we see these miracles, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the real Messiah, the Mashiach, is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. He's ready to come in if we just do what's right. If we, as Jews, would just do what is right. And when we see miracles like the 1967 Six-Day War, where the whole Arab world marched on Israel's borders promising to push the Jews into the sea, where the Arabs in the UN were saying, within one day all the Jews are going to be wiped out and we're going to exterminate you, not a single Jew. Ahmed Shukari, the head of the PLO, said in the UN, not a single Jew will be left alive when the battle is over. And 6 days later, little Israel, again outnumbered 100-1, tiny little Israel, beats the whole Arab world on three different fronts, there were three different military fronts, the Egyptian front, the Jordanian front, the Syrian front, tiny little Israel. In 6 days, beats the whole Arab world, outnumbered 100-1. And tiny little Israel quadruples in size. Israel was four times its original size in just 6 days. I mean, where do you see miracles like this anywhere else? This is right out of the Bible. And this is when the Jews don't believe. And this is when Moshe Dayan, the defense minister of Israel, said, what miracle? It was the Israeli army. It was Tzahal. No miracle. It was Tzahal. The arrogance. And this is when they don't believe. The Messiah, the Mashiach, is knocking at the door. If only the Jews would wake up and do what's right. If only they would do what's right. We can bring the final redemption. God wants to bring the final redemption now, because we're nearing the 6,000 year mark. 6,000 years on the Jewish calendar is the end for this world. That's when the redemption, when the world changes and the final redemption comes. And when we have Techiyat HaMetim, resurrection of the dead, Bo'or Shel Melech HaMashiach, the coming of the King, of the Messiah, the King, and all of the other great things that will happen. HaGeulah HaShlemah, the final redemption. We already see some of the things that have to happen for this to happen have already started. Kibbutz Galuyot, the gathering of the exiles, that's already happening. Almost half of the Jews in the world, almost half of the world Jewry now lives in Israel. In 1948, it was just a tiny percentage. Even in 1967, it was like 15% of world Jewry lived in Israel. And now it's almost half. We're approaching the point where a majority of world Jewry will be living in Israel. Israel's the only country where the Jewish population is growing and the birth rate is going up, not down. Everywhere else, the Jewish population is in decline. There is no future for the Jews outside of Israel. Those who have opened up centers and other things in the Galut and in other cities, you are trying to awaken the dead in the cemetery. And it's not like the resurrection of the dead, which will happen. What you're trying to do won't happen. Those dead won't be awakened. Our place is in Israel. We have no future outside of Israel. And it's a message JTF has tried to bring to the Jewish people, because we're the true carriers of the Kahanist message. We've remained faithful to our great rabbi and our great leader. And it's also a message we tried to bring to the righteous Gentiles, because in the end, your countries also, I'm talking to the Gentiles now, can only be saved if there is a spiritual idealism. Because without that, in the end, people's selfish desires, people's own self-interest will take over, will kick in, and you will never succeed in the long term with secular nationalism. And so, I thought that explanation was important as we begin a new year. And I do want to say, L'Shana Tova, Happy New Year, or Good New Year, to my fellow Jews and to righteous Gentiles, because it's a new year. It actually is a new year for both, to my fellow Jews and to the righteous Gentiles. And remember, again, we have a role to play here, because no one else is telling the truth now. Someone has to tell that truth. Someone has to fill that vacuum. And that's something JTF intends to do, and is trying to do in Israel. If we wake the Jews of Israel up, we will literally save the world. Now, that's quite a big task. And I'm not saying that JTF will succeed in doing that. I'm not by any means saying that in this generation. I'm not saying that. I understand what the odds are. But we have to try our best to do as much as we can. Even if we can't complete the job, which we probably can't, because we don't have the power and we don't have the money and we don't have the resources and we don't have the, we probably can't. But we still have to do as best as we can with whatever we have. That's what we're called upon to do. And that's the real reason why you're in this world. That's the real reason why we all are in this world. If we work together as a team, we can still make this a better world and we can change Jewish history. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.